choir for that reminder and for that pattern that you developed in that anthem. For this is the pattern we must all face, that we will face hostility, danger, death, yes, but we in Christ Jesus will triumph. Hear the reading of God's word in the sixth chapter of the book of Ephesians. This is the word of the Lord. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance for the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. And may the Lord bless the reading and the hearing of his word. And I hope you picked up on enough of that to realize that our missionaries and your pastor have to depend daily on your prayers in order to preach the word correctly and to represent Jesus Christ faithfully. It's a battle that we're in, and we need to recognize that. So before we explore this text further, may we all pray, you praying for me that I will preach the word properly, and I praying for you that you will hear the word and accept it and live it out. And so let's pray for each other. Heavenly Father, I would pray for this whole congregation and for those that they will contact later in the day, that your truth may be overwhelming and challenging and satisfying. And I pray that I may proclaim the word faithfully, and this congregation may receive it with the full intent of obedience in the glory that follows. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Satan is a defeated foe of Jesus Christ, but this does not mean that he is harmless or even idle. You know, many a hunter or explorer has been killed by a wild beast which he has fatally wounded, and he's not dead yet. And so here is, in this passage of scripture, Satan is presented as a roaring lion with fatal intent toward all believers. Martin Luther said it well, and you sang it this morning. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. We're not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Just ask who that may be. Christ Jesus, it is he. Lord Sabaoth, his name. From age to age the same, and he must win the battle. And the Christian life is a battle. It was a battle for the Lord Jesus Christ, always resisting Satan. It was a battle that cost him his life, and yet that life was restored in the resurrection. And that's a pattern. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, and whoever will lose his life for my sake will find it. And so that pattern, the cross, must be accepted by all believers, because you will be under attack, not only from people in this world, but not even principally from that, but Satan has a whole host of spiritual beings that have rebelled against God set out to do Satan's will. And what is Satan's will? It's for you to go to hell. And that's what Satan is up to. And he'll pull out every trick and every trickster that he owns to take you away from the Lord. And believers must understand certain basic assumption behind this this exhortation and description of the Word of God as our armor. First of all, we have to understand we are in dire need of such an armor, because we have a deadly enemy whose aim, again, is to drag you down into the fires of hell. And if he can't do that, he will at least cut you off from the Lord in your daily life, so that you will be discouraged. And a defeated Christian is not much of a warrior for Jesus Christ. So Satan knows well that if he cuts you off from the Word of God and from depending upon prayer, he has nothing to fear from you. You know, roaring lions cannot be defeated by pop guns or BB guns and feeble sticks of human effort. Though saved by grace and sovereign election, believers are held accountable before God for their conduct in this world. And I don't understand it, and you don't understand it, I'm sure, but there is a correlation between God's sovereign grace and your responsibility to serve him. Divine grace and human responsibility are never separated in the Word of God. It's only in the fallen mind of man. Well, if I'm chosen by God from all eternity, then I don't have to worry about a thing. Yes, you do. You have to worry about much and worry about Satan's desire. He desired that of Jesus Christ, and he tried his best to get Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to turn his back on God, because he had succeeded in the Garden of Eden. And Adam was created, and Eve created in the image of God and endowed with all the spiritual power that they needed to defeat Satan. And yet they went down in miserable defeat. Not only they, but we all fell with them. So with the basic assumption in mind that we need desperately the power of God to withstand Satan, and that though we are saved by grace, we live not only by grace, but we live through the Holy Spirit interceding for us and interceding in us, and we live out a life of conflict. So the exhortation in this passage of Scripture is, find your source of power in the Lord and the strength of his might. And first, the assumption that, I may or may not get around to picking up the armor of God and defeating Satan with it, but it's a command. It's really a command that we are to take the power of God and the power of God. And without it, we can't win any victories against Satan. as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. And for without me, you can do nothing, especially in their battle against the power of Satan. On the other hand, if we remain in close fellowship with the Lord, then I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that includes defeating Satan in his attempt to nullify your influence in the world. And I love the choice of words that the Holy Spirit chose, the power in the strength and the power of his might. And the power of God is like the nature of God, infinite, eternal. And you think I'm going to say, but what I'm going to say, it's available. But you have to accept it and have to work hard that the power of God would defeat Satan in your life. And know this, with God, nothing is impossible. So this infinite power has already been at work in history and redemption and in your personal salvation. And the apostle is calling on us to avail ourselves of this power in our warfare against Satan, or will surely be defeated. The power of his might is not an abstract concept. It's the demonstrated force already at work. God created the heavens and the earth. God caused you to be born again. Talk about power. When you were dead in your trespasses and sin, God called upon you to be born again by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so when you truly call on his might and power, he is the living God who will strengthen you, help you, and cause you to stand upheld by his righteous, omnipotent hand. He's able to do exceedingly above all that you can ask or think according to the power that works in us. And the next command is, it follows this, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Once more, there's an inescapable responsibility that believers have for themselves and to a degree for each other. Do you realize that there are weak Christians all around you who are depending on your strength and your faithfulness, and they will follow you as you are faithful to God? And certainly, in our battle against the prince of darkness, we will suffer utter defeat unless we take upon ourselves the power of God. It's available, but it has to be worked at, and it has to be received. It has to be read about. It has to be prayed for. And certainly, it is true that the counsels of God from all eternity will never fail, including his sovereign election by grace of you. It's just as true that the plan of God has for victory has to be taken, and that you can overcome implies a battle. So we must constantly remind ourselves every day and many times during the day that we are engaged in serious spiritual warfare, which must be pursued vigorously and constantly, else the supreme terrorist of the universe will bring defeat and ruin upon us. The account of the temptation of our Lord Jesus Christ in the wilderness, where he met and did serious battle with Satan, teaches us that if he, in his brazen attempt to subvert the Son of God, he don't be surprised if he attempts to undermine you. And also to realize that it is only through the power of the Lord, and you have to stay in touch with him through prayer and through questions. Is this honoring to Christ, or is it dishonoring to Christ? Is it yielding to Satan, or is it resisting his influence? And certainly, We don't know all there is to know about Satan, and we don't need to know. But we do know that he is in rebellion against God, that he has set out to ruin God's perfect creation, and he has set out to enlist as many who are in the image of God to his side rather than God's side. And so Paul uses the terms, the wiles of the devil. Elsewhere he refers to it as the methods of Satan. So what are these wiles? What are these methods? When he tempted Christ in the wilderness, catch this, he tried to misquote Scripture and tried to twist it just enough to catch Jesus off of his guard. But he failed in this. How often does he succeed with us? By twisting Scripture, by misapplying, by misdirecting our priorities, even in the ministry of the church. He tries to isolate weak Christians from stronger believers. I was watching a nature show the other night, and it was a herd of buffalo being attacked by a whole pride of lions. And as long as they stayed together and had their horns out front, they could defeat the lions, but it just let one stray away. And do you know of people who are no longer coming to church? Do you know of people whose membership is in this church who are ignoring the responsibility and the privileges of membership in the church? Then go to him, go to them, gather around them like the buffaloes defeated the lions. Gang up on the lion, the great hungry lion of hell. And Satan loves to isolate Christians, and he loves to water down the gospel, and he tries to discredit the word of God as he did in the Garden of Eden. And he said to Eve, did God really say that? And Eve began to process that and began to think, well, what's wrong with what I want to do? And Satan will always come to you and say, did God really say that? Did he mean it? Oh, surely not. No wonder the apostle tells us with such urgency, put on the whole armor of God. That's the only way we have a chance of defeating Satan. Again, Martin Luther's hymn that we sang this morning, did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. Why? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. We must be realistic about the fact that we're going up against somebody who's a lot stronger than we are, and he has at his beck and call millions upon millions of evil spirits that he'll turn loose on you. And he has a whole array, and he knows just what spirit to call on to attack you. It's so very obvious that we are dealing with human depravity, but beyond that, we have to battle against Satan and against the hosts of evil that he commands. But another thing we have to realize is that a well-intentioned Simon Peter tried to get Jesus not to go to the cross, even as Satan with his overt temptations. So Simon Peter, when he heard Jesus say, I'm going up to Jerusalem, and I'll be delivered into the hands of sinners and will be killed and will be crucified. And Peter said, oh, no, Lord, that won't happen to you. And so well-intentioned Christians can sometimes be your worst enemies. And two expressions here need a little explanation. In heavenly places. You mean there are evil spirits in heavenly places? No, in the realm of the universe, it's not the heavenly place where Christ is at the right hand of God, but throughout this universe, there are fallen creatures, invisible though they are, but yet employed by Satan. And our wrestling must realize that we fight against evil and temptations, hand-to-hand combat. And that's the kind of a battle we have to face. It's not that we're in jet planes and we're controlled by electronic power. It's that we are in the trenches and we are battling Satan and Satan's emissaries. And sometimes, yes, we lend ourselves to Satan's efforts to distract other Christians. But at this point, the apostle commands us to put on the whole armor of God and the power of his might. For the enemy is powerful, a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, and he never gives up. So before we explore next Sunday the whole armor of God, realize the importance of Christians arming themselves and being able to resist Satan, because if we underestimate him, he's already won. So here we have this exhortation: trust in the power of the might of the God who created the universe, of the God who gave his Son, of the God who calls you from all eternity to be his own. Let's pray just for a moment. Heavenly Father, we hear your word exhorting us to put on the armor of God and to withstand the devilish schemes of Satan. And so we pray that we may hear the call and obey the call. And as soldiers of Christ, we'll put on your full armor. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.